All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number, it's Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and that means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, has joined the fray. How you doing, Dr. Craig?
I'm doing good. Glad to be with you, Earl.
Well, it wasn't a long night for you last night, was it?
No. And I thought that along. There were all these Democrats raising the alarm that the two conservatives would come through. And it's like, okay, Judge Janet has more money than the others combined.
Yes.
And people do tend to get the dog whistle, the code, as to which is a Democrat and then, or which is a Republican, despite the nonpartisan official character of the race. And so I always thought two of them would come through, one of each party. And obviously, Judge Everett Mitchell was great, but this is his first campaign, and just the price of admission was too high for him, at least the first go-around.
You know, Dr. Craig, 46% of the vote is a staggering number when you look at the sheer numbers of what she got, and then if you combine Judge Kelly and whatever, I've forgotten the name already.
Judge Durrow.
Judge Durrow combined. You see that, and it doesn't work like that, but you see that Protasiewicz, you know, had more votes than the two of them combined. And then if you figured in the 70,000 additional votes that Mitchell got, but that's not how it works, but it does show that conservatives are really going to be worried about this. They are going to be behind the eight ball with this. It's not saying that they can't win, but clearly Democrats are going to be organized, and financially they're not going to be outspent, do you think?
They might be, because remember, Mandela Barnes outspent Ron Johnson until you factor in the independent money.
Right.
So the total spending I think we have to assume that we'll be outspent in the general election. I think this electorate, according to analysis of the electorate, was much more liberal than the midterm election electorate of November. And the spring primary is much lower turnout than the spring general. So it is very unclear whether this will be the same electorate in the general. But you're right. Between Mitchell and Protasiewicz, it's over 53% of the vote, which is a landslide in Wisconsin, right, in our purple state. The Democrats, you saw that Democratic-relying groups were spending money attacking Durrow.
Yes.
They're more afraid of Judge Durrow, and Kelly, the other conservative, was attacking Durrow. So there was kind of a crossfire. This is very much like the Democrats who spent money to get MAGA Republicans in because they thought they were easier to beat. I always think you do need to be careful what you ask for. They brought through the candidate with the billionaires behind them that might have much more unlimited money than Judge Durrow. So they, in a way, they own this. Right. The Democratic money, the big money, not individual donors, decided they wanted to face Kelly. Now they better beat him. You know, the billionaires and all of the capacity behind them will have a plan. And I think it's going to be similar to the playbook that with Mandela Barnes, where if not for the fact that they came out and dominated the airwaves for 3 weeks and sullied Mandela's reputation with completely sleazy crime ads without an effective response, Mandela wins that race. And he may win the race if the election comes a week later. He had the momentum, right? So they're going to try to do that now. They're going to come out, in my opinion, with a complete blitzkrieg. And the question is whether the Democratic side has the resources lined up for that to answer. But in addition to that, whether Democrats have an effective message about crime, because clearly abortion and gerrymandering are cutting well for Protasiewicz, but they're going to try and make this about releasing dangerous criminals, and she's been an active judge. And so when you are a judge, you're not Solomon, you are going to release people based on the merits who then go and do bad things, and that not make you a bad judge. But both sides have trafficked in that highly misleading view of what a criminal justice system should be. And the Democrats have been awful this last cycle in having a strong counter to this sleazy crime propaganda, which also is a racialized message, as you know well know, Earl. So we're going to see about resources and whether the Democrats can be effective in responding, because I actually don't think Judge Kelly has been the kind of judge that dealt with a lot of criminal cases. So I don't think he has the same vulnerability Judge Duro did. She also released some people who then went on to do bad things.
You know, Dr. Craig, there's no question about whether or not whatever financial resources are needed on the right side of the aisle, they're going to have it, and then some, because if they lose all of the things that they put in place over the last 10, 12 years with their control over the Supreme Court, they stand to be eroded. And so they can't afford to lose that seat. Least all of their gains, or many of their gains, are going to be overturned. And they can't have that, because that's kind of made them who they are. And so they're going to be fighting tooth and nail, and they're going to do everything within their power to hold on to that seat. And the Democrats had better be ready. And it doesn't matter that Justice Kelly, former Justice Kelly, was once there. You know, he lost, you know, when he ran after he was appointed the first time. But, you know, he lost. So he is a beatable guy. And the fact that Democrats, this may be the last opportunity for a long, long time, because all the other justices are pretty young people, right? I mean, both sides have to win this.
I looked at it, and aside from, something you never hope for, surprise, health issues, right, it doesn't look like there's another opportunity for some time. Not knowing what people's plans are either. Some people, right, some people resign, for personal reasons, or they want to pursue something else. So here's the thing. The Republicans have known for half a century that if you control judges, you control actually how a lot of things happen, whether corporations are held accountable, whether or not there's basic fairness and justice for average people. And the Democrats have finally got the memo. It took a very long time. So I think the Democrats get the stakes very strongly. Of course, they're outgunned with it. The Republicans, through judges, through things like the Citizens United decision, have deregulated campaign finance, so they have an advantage, because most billionaires, most big money, most big corporate money is with them, not with Democrats. So there's that problem. But the problem with messaging is important. And I don't usually, I'm not going to do a call out. I'm just going to describe this as a problem, right, in terms of winning the race, right? One of the major independent groups that supports Democrat candidates is a Better to Wisconsin Together. And they do a lot of good things. They have communication people there. They do some very good work that's helpful. They were very helpful, obviously, in things like Governor Reivers winning. But they were running ads to take out Duro, who lost by a fairly small margin, 3%. And they were like right-wing billionaire ads. They were about her releasing dangerous criminals and being a danger to the community. Well, if you lean into that messaging, you have set up the messaging by which Kelly will try to win this race. So how do you have an effective counter when you have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars priming the public with the idea that there's this crime wave, scary crime out there, and you want the judge that will just lock them all up? But they did that to make Kelly the nominee. I am very worried about that. I mean, on a values basis, I don't think it's a good idea, but just from a pragmatic winning this race basis, it seems like a very dangerous strategy to have pursued. But no one can control that. They were funded by a lot of big Democratic money, and that's what they chose to do.
Dr. Craig, It's a short sprint, right? I mean, what is it, 6 weeks before the election?
Yeah, and most of the public is not tuned in, Earl. We were doing calls, GOTV calls around the state, election eve and then election day. And I will say we were trying to call a universe that, you know, might, would be tuned in but might not vote in the primary. And of course, we obviously were trying to call people that would probably lean in our direction, though the voter file is very imperfect that way. I was surprised how many knew and had already voted. So our side, we've done a good job of our side, our base voters, getting it so far.
Early
right?
voting, you mean?
Yeah, early voting or voting. We were calling, like yesterday we were calling at 10 a.m., so a number of people had voted that day, right? But I was impressed. Now there are going to be a lot more voters, and I think they're going to work to try to get a lot of those right-wing voters and Republican-leaning independent voters out based on the crime panic that they have been fomenting very effectively.
Dr. Craig, hold on a second. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock, so the Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig, is on the line. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, people didn't expect a large turnout, and that's the way it turned out, right? I mean, I couldn't believe when I went to my voting place, and you know, because I get up early and do the radio show now, I normally would be at my polling site at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock or so before that. And I'm a guy who traditionalists, I always vote on voting day. There's still a few of us left. And when I looked at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I saw number 64, I couldn't believe my eyes that you know, there was just nothing going on. But that's kind of what you expected, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very unfortunate, but spring elections are much lower turnout. Midterms are lower turnout than presidential elections and so on. And there's
What do you attribute that to? I mean, there's money being spent.
It's a matter of really the atrophying of American civic life. What I mean by that is people know they have a president. They know they have a governor. But you get into judges and then local officials, they're not really following our government at that level. And so the bar is higher than commercials on the air. What really needs to happen is a lot more face-to-face conversations. Commercials don't really push turnout very effectively. They can, you know, the right, when they have the highly emotional commercials that outrage the MAGA base, that can pump turnout. Trump has shown that. But in generally speaking, we need to go into communities with folks from those communities and have longer conversations with people, which is what we try to do at Citizen Action Wisconsin. But we're only one organization. We have members across the state, but there are millions of voters. So, I mean, it's got to be part of restoring democracy, Earl, that more people understand. That's why the right can get away with packing the courts and people don't even realize it's happening.
Well, Dr. Craig, shouldn't it be what it once was? And you know, I hate to sound like an old gray-headed guy, but that's who I am. And civic duty. So voting used to be about civic duty. It wasn't about, well, this is the judges or any of those things. It was that every time it was election time, that's the way it used to be. But I know things have changed, and maybe I'm melancholy with it. But you would think that doesn't work anymore, huh? That approach.
Well, we just got to take people where they are. That notion of civic duty on voting is atrophied. Though voting has increased dramatically in the last couple of decades, but I think it's increasing not because of an increase in civic duty. It's increasing because of self-interest. So we need to show people what they're interested in elections, and we have to have candidates that make democracy worth saving. In other words, that will actually do something to improve people's lives. So Judge Protasiewicz has a gift in that there's a clear consequence around abortion, right? And otherwise, it's fairly hard to make the case to average people who are not very engaged that the state Supreme Court matters in their lives, right? That's unfortunate. But we need to not settle for the current situation, Earl, but we got to meet people where they are and get them involved by inspiring them to be involved and getting them to see their self-interest, the self-interest of their families, their communities.
You know, Dr. Craig, you said something that really, you know, registered with me, and I want to follow it up on the other side. You said make democracy worth saving. People need to know that we're in that arena now, right? Where democracy is on the line, and it's not being, it's not oversimplifying it. Democracy really is on the table and what it stands for, you know, and people need to really understand that. Got to go to a break. Once you explain that on the other side, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Eric, I see you. We'll come to you on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.
prejudice. Wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it go.
Free your mind.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Executive Director Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Let's go to Eric from Wauwatosa. Hey, good morning, Eric. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Dr. Craig. I'd like to address really quickly the point that Dr. Craig brought up about Judge Protasiewicz and the soft on crime angle. I think honestly, misogyny probably won more than anything else. For, you know, Doro was just as well known as being quote unquote tough on the Waukesha killer. And so I don't think it'll be as impactful. And also I think it won't be as impactful because Judge Protasiewicz is not a black guy. That was very effective when they can attach the conditioned brains of Wisconsinites to a Mandela Barnes when you talk about soft on crime and things like that. But she'll have a record of also prosecuting people and having cases. And I don't think that'll weigh nearly as much on Wisconsin brains as if it were a black candidate. I think also the criminal code is only a small part of the statutes. And I think to focus on that so much and spend all the time defending her record, quote unquote, is kind of wasting resources, because I believe it's a very stark contrast, as Dr. Craig had said earlier, that, you know, voting rights, a woman's right to choose, education, and the fair maps. And if they drive home on that, not only that, but also focusing or pointing out that, you know, Judge Kelly was appointed by Walker, and this state has been kind of spending the last 6 years kind of getting rid of the stink of Walker. And I think that'll be a positive thing. I just don't think, I mean, basically the crime stuff is going for the pure haters. And again, the pure haters don't, you know, there won't be Democrats bailing out, you know, voting for Evers and then bailing out and voting for Ron Johnson because Mandela Barnes is a black man. I don't think that excuse is in there, built in necessarily. They'll have two clear choices and there's not really another one. And there won't be people jumping from Judge Protasiewicz because in going over to Kelly due to conditioned racism. I just don't think that'll happen. Basically it's going to be a very stark choice.
You know, Eric, man, great thoughts, but hang on. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Eric? I think he made some great, valid points.
Well, I'm hoping Eric's right in his overall analysis. I think we need to be very careful with throwing around the claim that it's better to be a white woman than a black person running for office. I mean, the only candidate that has won by very large margins statewide in Wisconsin in recent years has been Barack Obama, the first black president, including the first time he ran. And so it obviously it may be easier to land in some cases with race. We, of course, are dedicated to fighting that, and the way to do it is to elect black candidates. And remember, Mandela Barnes came the closest of any U.S. candidate in the country of unseating an incumbent, and ran a very effective campaign. But there were a bunch of voters, to Eric's point, that voted on those ads, the blitzkrieg of ads, especially in the summer, when they have very little to do with what it is to be a U.S. senator. And so I totally agree with Eric that deciding, you know, who, you know, what happens with criminal defendants is not a major part of what a state Supreme Court candidate does. But each party, including Democrats, have made it seem that way because it's so convenient to run those scary emotional ads. And they Democratic candidates and the consultants behind them are also part of building up that idea. So it's pretty well ingrained that somehow state Supreme Court races, attorney general races, should be about crime and what we do about with dangerous criminals that and the most stereotypical type, right? So what's going to happen is they are going to try to dominate the airwaves and really make it seem like there's a real issue with Judge Janet. Most people will not know her actual prosecutorial record, right? That's the whole what happens here. So I'm not saying we won't win. We can absolutely win this race. I'm talking about what I think their pathway to victory, attempted pathway to victory, they have, and what it, and how that might work, and how the money behind it, and the fact that Democrats have actually helped build up that view of crime, including in this primary, right, in attacking Judge Doro, is part of the problem and has set the public up for this. But I don't want to be saying, when I say that that's the threat, that's the risk, that I'm predicting that Justice Protasiewicz is going to lose. I'm telling you, we cannot take this race for granted. We have to understand what advantages the billionaires behind Justice Kelly and the whole Republican establishment has as well, what they, how they could possibly win.
So hold on. Let's go to Paul from Waukesha. Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
Okay, remember a few weeks back I was talking about how the left likes to use race as a division against us? This right here is a very perfect example of what you're, in regards to what your last caller was saying. A perfect example of how white people, white woke white people, are using race as a way to divide us. A perfect example.
I'm sorry, I don't follow you, Paul. Maybe Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, do you understand what Paul is talking about?
Referring to the to Eric saying that Justice Protasiewicz will do better because she's not a black candidate and so won't land as well. But what I was responding to about being very careful with that analysis. So that's what I assume that Paul is talking about.
So Paul, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, you've got woke white people using race, saying that the reason why somebody wasn't elected or isn't nominated or so on and so forth is because of their race.
So wait a minute, Paul. Let me ask you something, Paul. Does that ever happen? Does it ever happen?
Has it ever happened? Of course it has.
Okay, so.
Of course it has. Is it happening today? No. Remember, we had a black president. This has all been settled.
No, so
we had a black president.
Okay, so but Paul, that doesn't mean. I mean, why add the term woke to it, right? What does that mean?
The left gone too left. This is a perfect example. This backs up my previous.
So let me ask you something. Because you said the left has gone too far left. Then the left could say that the conservatives have gone too far right. I mean, what is that? That's nothing.
Now, why would I want a drag queen performance performed in front of 7-year-olds?
So
why? Would you want that? Come on.
So decisions, political decisions, and I know Dr. Craig. Thank you very much for the call, Paul. You know, Dr. Craig, that is kind of the reality that we are faced with in today's elections. There are people who believe that, you know, drag queens, Democrats are supporting drag queens being, you know, exposed to children in schools. And that's why I've got to vote for the right, because those people on the left, that's what they're supporting. I mean, that's out there.
Well, I mean, Paul, unfortunately, then introduced a second level, a different bias. Right. And so, I mean, drag shows are part of American culture. They've been in Hollywood movies that were not rated as explicit at all. It's like saying taking your kids down Bourbon Street in the New Orleans French Quarter is somehow abusive to them. It's just not true. But I mean, Paul was. He's not right to say that it's the quote-unquote, when he says woke, now that I've heard him more, he's referring to, like, the radical left, et cetera.
Right.
Now, there are some strong left people who still will then turn around and say, well, we shouldn't have a black candidate because we won't win, and I was saying that I think that we shouldn't jump to that conclusion for a lot of reasons, both because we don't want that standard if we think about our values, but also because it's not factually true if you look at candidates and their performance. There's a lot of research to show that the most effective candidates are often black candidates. It depends how they run their campaigns and who they are. And there are a lot of very ineffective white candidates. And we've seen them in Wisconsin Democrat side repeatedly in the Walker era before and after, actually. This is where there's a grain of truth to what Paul said at the beginning. I've heard a lot of progressive Democrats and mainline Democrats say quietly that we shouldn't have endorsed Justice Mitchell, we should endorse Justice Berkowitz, because it'll be harder for a black person to win the race. And I've pushed back on that. We've had the discussion on our board of directors, but I'm just saying that is out there. It's not the right use of race to hold power and divide, but it's almost like giving into it and saying, well, because they're able to use race very effectively to divide, we better ourselves not put candidates out there that they can effectively land that dog whistle racist politics on. That's not the answer. That's capitulating to it.
Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, good morning, Jack. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. People that call in and then come up with something like drag queens having nothing whatsoever to do with a Supreme Court race, have obviously they're talking about being woke. They have to be the ones that wake up, because they're asleep to what's happening. The Republican Party as it exists today is using purposeful misinformation, misinterpretation, misdirection, and just plain lies to try and frighten people into voting for anybody that, and I do mean anybody, especially when you consider the old empty green and similar so-called representatives. Voting for anybody. Hello?
Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had an incoming call. I apologize.
Okay, Jack, that's all right. Go
ahead. In any case, they're trying to scare people into voting for virtually anybody that doesn't have any kind of an extremist right-wing view. It's just people have to wake up and understand what's being done to them.
Jack, thank you very much for the call. I wish I had more time. Dr. Craig?
I agree with Jack entirely. And we need to understand that the Republican strategy, not just the far-right strategy, is to use race to divide and to do it in a seemingly colorblind way, because it became seen, our cultural norms changed because of the 60s and the success of the civil rights and voting rights movement. And so it became, under the Nixon years, they very effectively switched to a colorblind strategy for invoking race and pushing the racial divide to win elections, to hold power. And that's where racism is coming in our society. But I would say that Democrats need to be very careful, progressive and moderate Democrats, about deciding that, we need to win, so we need to capitulate to the racism they're generating. We need to be very careful about that, because we also need to win the right way, and we can. There's been a great advance in the number of successful black candidates, and there's, as I said, reason to believe that the most effective candidates are quite often black candidates. It doesn't mean all black candidates are going to be effective, just as many white candidates are ineffective.
So,
right? But we shouldn't have that analysis, but we need to understand that they'll go after a Mandela Barnes in a slightly different way than a Justice Protasiewicz, but you watch. They're going to try to label her with letting dangerous criminals loose on the streets,
Dr.
just
Craig,
like they did Mandela.
Need you to hang on. Rico from Rock County, Steven from Green Bay, hang on. You guys are up next. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to Rico from Rock County. Hey, good morning, Rico. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hey, how you doing, Earl?
All right, I'm fine.
Hey, good, good. Hey, I just, you know, I wanted to, something about this call with the woke white people, you know, with the racism and the politics, and you had brought up the, you know, because we've elected Obama as a president, that no longer exists, and that's a blatant lie, because I just wanted to bring up, why then did they find it necessary during this last midterm to darken the skin tones of Mandela Barnes in those ads? And that's kind of all I want to say about that, Earl.
Hey, Rico, thank you very much for the call, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Stephen?
Hey, Earl. Before I go into my main speech, I just want to say stay safe out there if you're on the roads. It's pretty dicey.
Yes.
But what I'm going to say is, first of all, you're not woke if you're not educated. And secondly, I'm getting so sick and tired of this black, white agenda that people keep spewing out of their mouth. It's not true. I voted for Everett Mitchell yesterday. I voted for Mandela Barnes. And I didn't vote for either one of those candidates because of their skin color. I voted for each of those candidates based on the issues they were running
on. Well, they'll say you did it because you're woke.
Uh-huh.
I know, whatever that means, you know.
Yeah, I personally think that if you're a person who's going to the polls and you're basing your decision off of race, then maybe that's why we're in the issue that we're having right now in this country.
You know, I can't find any words to disagree with you on, Stephen, man. You know, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig.
I agree with both of your callers, your last two callers. So, you know, I will say, just in full disclosure, I voted for Everett Mitchell based on the issues, based on the incredible record he has of creating the kind of criminal justice system we should actually have that would actually make us safer and be much more just. But I do respect people who feel like, well, it's his first statewide race. He didn't raise the money to be highly competitive. And therefore, since we just have to win it for the future of abortion rights, fair elections, if we don't have fair legislative districts, we'll never have a state that is really democratic or can function in the public interest, that they therefore voted for Judge Protasiewicz. So I also thought, you know, has a good record. And I can tell you in our process, both Everett Mitchell and Janet Protasiewicz interviewed well, and we actually dual endorsed them because we had people on both sides of which candidate was should be supported. But obviously, a lot of Judge Janet supporters were based on the pragmatic that we just need to win this election. But so I strongly support Justice Protasiewicz. So I want to say that I thought in this primary it was important to vote for Everett Mitchell because we need to start to build an electorate that would actually implement real criminal justice reform that makes us all safer and is much more just and equitable for everyone in our society.
No question. And he certainly has that. Let's go to Bill quickly. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Thanks for the great show. You know, that word woke, I think if you can't say you want to be woke, you're basically saying I don't want to be educated. Woke means wake up. Are you woke? Are you waking up? You have to know, you know, and I'm kind of stealing some of Matt Flynn's lines. If you don't know history, you aren't woke. I was not aware of the Tulsa massacre until Tom Hanks brought that up. I was not woke. I thought I needed to know that. I didn't think I needed to know that. We need to wake up to not only our history, but everything around us. The Republicans, I just saw a poll, and it just made me, that's why I had to call you. Right now, in the poll that was taken, which supposedly bipartisan, Biden has a favorable rating of 49%. the middle, the people in the middle, they're below that. And then on the rock bottom are the Republicans. I really think they've really talked themselves out of a job, and they show it every day, like with that nonsense of giving Tucker Carlson video footage from the insurrection. They've talked themselves out of a job, and they don't want to be woke. They don't want to be educated. They want to just follow in lockstep with no questions. So thanks for giving me the airtime. Tell me your thoughts.
Hey, Bill, as always, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to say, as we get ready to wrap this up, you want to say what?
I think it's interesting what you call it saying about woke. And your last caller is totally right that it means being awake, right? Realizing it actually came from Black radical tradition and seeing the depths of structural racism in our society when so many people are blind to it. Now it's been distorted by the right and generally just epithet. But your caller's right. It means the alternative is being asleep. And words like this have precedence in the La Follette era, the early 20th century. There was a term called wide awake, people who were wide awake and saw the corruption of our society and what corporations and their concentrated monopoly power was doing to people. And so we have it is odd, though. I think the caller makes a great point that where they are actually promoting as a value being asleep, being out of it, not noticing what's going on by being against being awake. Being woke is simply slang for being awake.
You know what, Dr. Craig? What I am learning from these great radio stations that we have now in civic media is that there are people who are starting to listen across the state, and they're starting to realize that we're going to have guests like you, men like you, and people who really are really with your ear to the ground and working hard to, you know, preserve democracy, because we know what's on the other side of things. So I can kind of tell by the different voices that we're hearing, especially when you're on, Dr. Craig, that we're starting to have some impact. And that's a good thing, right?
No, this is great for this network. It's statewide. And the variety of voices we heard and the depth of the analysis. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're right. This is the beginning of the kind of conversation we all need to redeem democracy here in Wisconsin and in this country.
Dr. Craig, thank you. It happens too quickly, but we'll see you again a week from now.
Always a pleasure.
All right, thank you. Got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go, as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Calvin, as always, for doing a great job. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Hey, it's time to head for the bomb shelters. There's a snowstorm, an ice storm coming. Make sure you get to the grocery stores and get all the food off the shelves. Yeah, because we don't know. Gotta go. See you later.